strengthening without rationale or adequate stimulus is tantamount to malpractice. That one's just like a rallying cry.
I was pretty fired up.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah, that's been brought up quite a bit. And I do believe that's the case. You know, I review records for Medicare. That's one of the things I look for in skilled care is the dosing appropriate that requires the skills of a physical therapist. That's on the positive side. The negative side is that we're billing for treatments that aren't going to do any good whatsoever and maybe even do harm.
Welcome to Foxcast Physical Therapy, a podcast for clinicians made by clinicians. It's brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Find out more at foxrehab.org.
I'm your host, Jimmy McKay. On the program today, a professor at the Department of Physical Therapy Education at the College of Health Professions, SUNY Upstate Medical University. Dale Avers on the show. Dale, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be here.
Very excited to get you on here. We're going to talk about your white paper from 2009, the Journal of Geriatric Physical Therapy is where the audience can find that. It's brought up frequently, your work along with Mary Beth Brown from the University of Missouri in Columbia. It's brought up frequently, especially by our founder of our practice, Dr. Tim Fox. He loves it. Talks about it all the time.
Great. I like that.
Yeah. But first, I have to start with asking a little birdie, two little birdies actually told me that you are a stickler for exercise form. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, I really believe in intensity. I think intensity for older adults gets an awful lot of bang for your buck, but that does not mean that we tell people to work really hard and then walk off and leave them. So I'm a stickler for providing skilled physical therapy, which includes form and understanding what form is, which then leads me to say that I'm a stickler for physical therapists really engaging in high intensity exercise themselves so that they get a sense of what good form is.
Yeah, doing it can actually, I mean, if you say do a side lying leg lift and then you're instructing someone on how they might not be doing it that great, you should get on there and do it yourself, right?
That's exactly right. And then you get the sense, oh, this isn't as easy as it looks. And yeah, you're one with instead of just telling.
What are some of the exercises that we typically fail to be really, really great at instructing form or not being enough of a stickler?
Well, I think you brought up a good one, Jim, which is hip abduction.
Yeah.
So often I see folks doing it standing, which of course is, it's not against gravity. So it's really a quite easy exercise. And frankly, you're exercising the leg you're standing on, which some folks forget. But then you allow the anterior part of the glute med to work because of the tightness of the hip flexors. And so people don't go into full abduction with a little bit of posterior movement, which is really where you're going to emphasize the strength of that glute med. So that's a big one. Shoulder exercises, you know, a lot of older folks have a bit of rounded shoulders. And so we don't consider that we've got to really work on stability before we work on mobility. And so that can create a lot of problems. Yeah, those are kind of my two of my favorite joints.
Yeah, I heard from some students of yours that your Therex tests focus a lot on form. Those were little birdies who told me that you were the stickler for the form.
That's funny.
Let's get your white paper. Strength training for the older adult. Again, work by yourself and Mary Beth Brown from the University of Missouri. Published in 2009, Journal for Geriatric Physical Therapy. A review of the current recommendations for strength training in older adults. Also to encourage researchers to use published guidelines for appropriate strength stimuli for patients rather than, quote, usual or traditional care. This thing gets brought up a lot, and we love that. And that's what a white paper really is, right? It's supposed to be, it's a position statement.
Yeah, you know, and historically, white papers have been used in industry to present kind of a background for a proposal. In this case, this white paper is really about defining our position about strengthening. And because white papers are usually to talk about a problem that we want to address, this was really instigated because I was pretty frustrated with the underdosing that I so often saw in exercise prescription for older adults. And because there is such a preponderance of exercise prescription evidence, there really isn't any reason not to be doing it. So I thought, let's write a easy to read, all kind of one-stop shop way of for therapists to update their knowledge about exercise.
Yeah, I love that. The clinical significance pearl that gets used a lot, especially within our practice at Fox Rehabilitation, is strengthening without rationale or adequate stimulus is tantamount to malpractice. That one's just like a rallying cry.
I was pretty fired up.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah, that's been brought up quite a bit. And I do believe that's the case. You know, I review records for Medicare. That's one of the things I look for in skilled care is the dosing appropriate that requires the skills of a physical therapist. That's on the positive side. The negative side is that we're billing for treatments that aren't going to do any good whatsoever and maybe even do harm.
Yeah, well, you're using words in the white paper like strength, power, you know, typically, unfortunately, don't get used with older adults. For some reason, there's some magical age where you're no longer supposed to focus on those things. And that's not okay, especially in our profession.
It's not okay. And Jim, I think you're alluding to some ageism that I hope is unconscious on the part of therapists that might be afraid to apply the kind of intensity that is going to make a difference. I tell my students, you know, they've all seen the most ridiculous exercise of sitting in a chair with a low ankle weight, like a 1 pound ankle weight around their ankle, and they're kicking out. And I talk a lot about specificity and that muscles don't get stronger in any other way than what we exercise them at. So what are you trying to achieve with that particular exercise? And they all kind of look at me a little blankly. And I said, I hope that that's to kick your therapist when he or she does that to you. I mean, it's like, wow, what are we asking our patients to do? We don't expect enough from our older adults. And that's our basic ageism that actually can cause harm to older people. And then the second thing that I ask my students to think about is why? What are you afraid of? And invariably, both in continuing education and at the entry level, people will say they're afraid. So what are you afraid of? And eventually they get after this, I'm afraid I'm going to break them, which is, we kind of know isn't going to happen, but at least they're starting to be honest. Sure. And so when we can identify that fear or any fear, then we can start using our knowledge and intelligence to overcome that fear and not be captive by it. And even worse, allow our patients to be captive by it.
Yeah, they're going to follow our lead. You know, if we're treating them that way, they will start to believe that way.
That's absolutely right. Plus, I always say, who else is going to do this but physical therapists? So if you don't do it, they're not going to get the benefit of exercise. How does that set them up for the rest of their lives?
Yeah. Something from that white paper, skeletal muscle requires a workload of approximately 60% of maximum available strength to increase strength. That's one rep max. That works for your 6-year-old, 16, 36, or 66, or 96-year-old. It's the same.
That's right. Muscle doesn't change as we get older, except that it gets a little weaker and perhaps performs slightly slower.
Right.
But otherwise, it's going to get stronger just the way yours or my muscles get stronger. And we've got to treat it as such. And they need high intensity even more so because they have limited time and resources to give to that program. Yeah, to waste that time is just really a sad thing.
And if you're in a position where you finally have an older adult who needs your skilled care in front of you, you've gotten all the way to like the 1 yard line for you not to push them to sit, you know, their one rep max. Oh, yes. That's such a fail on our part.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
We talk about one rep max. The founder of CrossFit had a great quote, and his is, our understanding is that the needs of Olympic athletes and the needs of our grandparents differ by degree, not kind. One needs functional competence to stay out of the nursing home. The other one wants functional dominance to win medals.
That's exactly right. It's really of the same ilk. We're talking about just muscle physiology, which there's just no evidence at all that it's different as we get older. And I think, frankly, we retire so that we have time to exercise because it's just so important towards the end of our life. Talking about a one rep max, you know, that repetition maximum is such an easy thing to do, you know, both functionally as well as in a single muscle contraction, like a biceps or a quad. One of the things that I encourage everyone to do is never tell a patient how many repetitions to do. Invariably, we'll be underdosing if we do that because they surprise us so much. So we just see how many they can do. And they start getting 6 or 7, you know you've underdosed right there because they can keep going. And I love to walk up behind a young therapist and say, So, sir, how many do you think you could do? And he kind of looks and he goes, oh, maybe 40 or 50. And the therapist's eyes are like really big going, oh, no. So you just can't assume that you know how many. You've got to find out how many they can do. And then might be approaching the appropriate weight or resistance.
Yeah, in the white paper, it also goes into sets, reps, frequency. You know, reps, you mentioned based on patient's effort and form. And that's what we come back to. You look for that deterioration of form. And that's when you know you're getting to that 80% threshold. Am I reading that correctly?
Exactly right. And then you document that and say that patient exercise to a loss of form indicating muscle fatigue or failure. Now, that's a skilled note. Now I'm not wondering, well, why couldn't they do 12? If they did 10, why didn't they do 12? Because there's no indication about why they quit at that point. Sometimes I think it's the therapist getting bored or tired that makes them quit. The therapist will say, are you tired? I.e., why don't you quit? Let's go do something else.
Sure.
Never ask a patient if they're tired. I want to see it.
Sure. That's your skilled care, right? Being able to figure out when that person has reached that point.
That's right. And you document what you're seeing. Are they sweating? Are they short of breath? Are their vitals going up? Are they losing form? Those are the things we're trained to observe, to document, and to adjust in our treatment programs.
Yeah. Getting rid of manual muscle testing. Talk about that.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, it's ironic, Jim, because Mary Beth and I are the authors on the Daniels and Worthingham muscle testing book. The fourth edition has just come out. And the reason that I came on to the ninth edition was because I wanted to make muscle testing relevant to physical therapists again. I just felt like we weren't doing it very well and it wasn't meaning anything. So I'd read charts that would say lower extremity 5 out of 5 generally. I'm going, really? So I guess they don't need exercise then, right? I mean, it just, wow, it didn't make a lot of sense. So our book now includes the other strength measures such as functional strength. So here's my little spiel on this 5 out of 5 grade, especially for lower extremities like quads and gastrocs. There is no way, even in a quote, little old lady, unquote, that yours or my muscle resistance, the resistance we would apply, should break their quad or gastroc contraction. Those muscles are just too strong in anybody. And so we can't accurately grade them. And so a muscle test, a manual muscle test, is not appropriate for those kind of muscles. I think the hip abductor, it's perfect because you can get them on their side. You've got a long lever arm, and that's one where it's pretty unusual to see someone be able to withstand a brake test. But even dorsiflexors, I think, are typically pretty darn strong in a lot of people, although I do see that one getting weaker in older folks. So I think it's appropriate manual muscle testing on upper extremities, but there isn't a reduced grade when we take age into consideration. That's just not how it was designed. What it really does is it picks up weakness, right? It's not really about strength, it's about weakness. And you're looking side to side. And so there's a role for muscle testing for sure. But when you're talking about function, it's a pretty low bar to achieve these grades.
Paying attention to the individual in front of you is very important.
Critical. Yeah. Absolutely.
Frequency based on muscle recovery, allowing 24 to 48 hours of rest between sessions of the same muscle group. This sounds like leg day, chest day, back day, arm day. This is, muscle physiology and exercise prescription 101, no matter who you're working with or how old they happen to be. Muscle power too, moving as quickly as possible through the concentric phase of exercise. A lot of times we don't think of older adults as needing muscle power, but they do.
Yeah, power is the critical determinant in functional activities. That's been shown over and over again. And yet we lose it almost 3 times as fast as muscle strength. Asking somebody, I advocate one set for untrained individuals, which are mostly our older adults. But if you want to do 2 sets, do 1 set that's power-based. So you work on strength at high intensity and then do power-based as high intensity as is possible, although probably you're going to have to drop that down. So moving quickly is so critical, especially for balance. So we can't do enough of that. But let me comment on the kind of the frequency, because I get a lot of therapists that say, wow, how can I do that? I work in a skilled nursing environment, or I'm in an inpatient setting where I have to see people, even BID, every day. So that's why we came up with the table that we did, where, as you said, we can do leg day, on a Monday morning and then do leg day again on a Wednesday. But on Tuesday, we can work abdominals and because we forget about the trunk, so work on core. And then you can work on posture control and balance in the afternoons or task-specific activities. So you mix the program up, which keeps the patient more engaged, keeps you more engaged for sure, and then doesn't violate basic exercise physiology principles.
And getting them to that max, they should have a little bit of delayed onset muscle soreness. You know, that should
absolutely
be something you want to see that. And a lot of times we want to avoid anything, and I'm using air quotes over here where I am, pain related with an older adult, but soreness is something we know happens in delayed onset muscle soreness. Injury is not something we want to go for, but there has to be that line. And again, that's what your skilled part in the skilled care is.
That's right. That's right. So I always tell the patient that they are likely to be sore. And I tell them exactly where. I want this. I'll point to their quad. I want you to be sore here. I do not want you to be sore at your knee. And I said, and if you're not sore, I'm going to really be pretty disappointed.
Sure. Sure.
So I really lay that expectation out. And of course, it's kind of like the orthodontist. Remember when you had your braces tightened up and
right.
I'm never going back there again. Your appointment's not for several weeks later and you forget all about it. Well, that's kind of why we schedule people every other day, right?
Yeah.
In the outpatient setting. So they forget about it. And I tell them what they need to do, that they need to move through it. And that any soreness that lasts more than 2 days, we overdid it a little bit because we don't know for sure, right? These are untrained people that maybe haven't worked at this intensity in quite a while. But I can tell you the reward is just incredible. And I can't tell you, Jim, how many times after a Con Ed course, I'll come back home and I'll tell therapists, I want your patients to ask you on Monday morning, where the hell were you this weekend? Their plans are so different. And sure enough, I get those emails going, I cannot believe how underdosing I was. This patient is so excited about what we're doing. It's just great success stories if therapists will just give themselves permission to apply what the evidence says. You're going to have fun. And you should never be bored as a therapist. And your patients should never be bored. Yeah, it's a great way of mixing it up and really providing skilled care that's going to do a lot of good for your patients.
Yeah, we were going to have you on the show. And not long ago, a Reader's Digest article came out laying out, and you already know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do.
What was your gut reaction to that? Now, just for the audience, the Reader's Digest came out with an online article saying 15 exercises you should never do after the age of 50. I'm not really sure where they picked that 50 number, but they laid it out there. And a bunch of those physical therapists kind of took issue with all of them.
Yes, of course, and we should. So my little known secret is I'm 65. I go to Fit Body Boot Camp every single day. You have got to be kidding me. I'm doing all of those exercises and more, and I feel great. So just taking my personal experience, I went kind of a bit ballistic, I have to say. And I thought, how ageist is this?
Yeah.
But I was really heartened, Jim, by the groundswell of outrage across professions, but a lot from us. And I thought, this is really terrific that people are starting to get on board with providing evidence-based exercise and seeing what older adults actually can do, that there's no limitations. Now, clearly, high intensity cannot be applied indiscriminately. But we do want to encourage our folks to move through the highest intensity possible because it's going to make the most good. So when somebody says, well, I don't want to get my muscles really big, that's kind of, they don't want to exercise that hard.
Right.
I'll say, okay, then you're going to need to spend more time with me because it's just going to take you longer to get stronger. And then they start seeing dollar signs or time or whatever is their value. And they go, oh, and they usually come around. So I think that's the thing, is that there's no one size for every single person. You have to consider what their goals are and what their beliefs are. And sometimes, I'm always talking about selling exercise. If people liked exercise, they probably wouldn't be coming in to see us. Mm-hmm. So how can we sell it as the best thing since sliced bread?
Show the benefit for them, the why in it for them.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of try to push the intensity, but it's always within that specificity. And so I'm a big proponent of making sure that you're engaging that patient with patient-related goals, really developing that therapeutic alliance so that the patient can see, why am I doing a lunge? I haven't done a lunge in 40 years. Well, it's the first step in getting up off the floor. Oh, yeah, I've been having trouble getting up off the floor. I said, right, you told me that. That's why we're doing this. Oh, and now they get it. So we're always going back to what is it that the person wants to do. I also like another strategy is showing. So I'll have them do a 30-second sit to stand. So rather than say, oh, that's pretty good, I whip out my Rickley and Jones Senior Fitness Manual, which has such beautiful tables of 95th percentile down in 5-year age increments. And I'll sit there and kind of play dumb and go, now let's see, how old did you say you were? Oh, 87. Okay. And you did how many? 8. I said, oh, okay, let's go. Here it is. All right, see what this says? I don't even say the number, and they'll go, 35th percentile? Really? Let me try that again. Mm-hmm. So it's again, it's helping them come to that realization of what they need to do rather than, I think therapists, Jim, tell way too much than ask. We need to ask our patients a lot more than just telling them. You know, I don't know that I appreciate a 20-year-old telling me what they think is best for me at this point. And I'm sure an 80-year-old isn't going to appreciate that from somebody who looks like they're 12 to that person.
Sure.
As I tell my students.
Asking first, because the most, and my background before coming to physical therapy is in communications. So when you're right. thinking about when someone is going to receive a communication best, the most important person in a conversation, as egotistical as it sounds, is always the me. It's always the I, the person receiving that. If you can frame it in such a way, they're going to want to own it.
Absolutely. And it takes some time. You know, I tell the students, you've just learned all this great knowledge and I know you want to share it and it's all good stuff, but you got to do it around the bush kind of idea. Sure. You'll get there. It's just, you got to learn how to sell it.
Yeah, I was 150% guilty of that, you know, in my clinical rotations, my first couple of years out of PT school, which is just starting to talk and talk and talk and talk. Look, I can't wait to tell you all the things that I know that I want you to know. And then, you know, listening to a really great therapist, you realize they talk like 10% as much as I do. It's like, well, yes, it's the importance of what they're saying and how they're saying it. And that's when you start to realize that. But that's difficult. That's a difficult lesson to learn. You point that out.
Yeah. And it's really, really important when you're trying to sell something that's basically unpopular, like sure. a really high intensity exercise program.
Yeah.
So you kind of learn it. And Forge, I'm sure you've had some patients we'll remember for the rest of our lives. I certainly have, that kind of have brought me back to myself and go, oh yeah, you're right.
Right.
I'm getting a little bossy and headstrong here.
Dale, last thing we do on the show is your foxtail. You ready for that?
Okay.
Why did you decide to work with older adults in your career as a physical therapist? What about that population drew you in?
I had 4 wonderfully aged grandparents, so I had no bad role models in my life. So I didn't have any negative perceptions about older adults. They just were. And I mean, here's a true story, very humbling. But my first job, I decided to go to skilled nursing because I kind of liked the autonomy. I'd worked as an aide for several years before PT school. And of course, they made the most money way back then. And so I walk in with this giant chip on my shoulder, and because I knew they needed a therapist badly. And the nursing home administrator looked at me and she goes, but do you like older people? I thought to myself, what's that got to do with anything? True. And she goes, why don't you go home and think about that answer? And I went, wow. So I did, and I did, and I came back, and I worked there for several years and kind of came to the realization that older people really didn't want to be in a nursing home. So what could I do to keep them out of it? And that's really where my focus has been ever since for the last 40 years. So I find older folks to be just like younger folks with a whole lot more wisdom and experience and interesting stories, but some of them are ornery and some of them are not very nice and some of them are sweet and they're just older. That's all. It's why I like calling them older adults and not any other kind of title or older folks. They're a group that's quite appreciative as a rule to be taken seriously and to not be put in the ground too early.
Love that. Love the way you put that. Dale Avers from the College of Health Professions, SUNY Upstate Medical University. White paper, Strength Training for the Older Adult. You can find it in the Journal of Geriatric Physical Therapy from 2009. 2009, we're still talking about that, Dale.
I know. How about that?
Well done.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's been great fun.
Thanks for listening to Foxcast PT. It's brought to you by Fox Rehabilitation. Fox clinicians work hard, love their work, and get the respect they deserve. Sound good? Then you'll love the autonomy to work in your own style and the support you get to achieve excellence. Plus, freedom and flexibility to have a personal life. Whether it's your first day or you've been around for a while, your contribution is acknowledged and rewarded. That's what makes Fox a success. Happy, well-trained clinicians make great healthcare. Are you a fit for Fox? Find out now at foxrehab.org.